I hope you're sensing that the theme of the morning is generosity, a generous God who is making all things new. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that Jonathan Edwards sermon of the 1700s. He was a revivalist preacher of the 1700s. And he was famous for this sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it was a classic example of revivalist hell and brimstone preaching. And one of the famous images was comparing the sinner to a spider hanging on a thread over a fire. And here's how Edwards put it: the God that holds you over the pit of hell, much as one holds a spider or some loathsome insect over the fire, abhors you and is dreadfully provoked. His wrath towards you burns like fire. He looks upon you as worthy of nothing else but to be cast into the fire. Should have had the heater fixed for this one. Now, I'm not a 1700s American revivalist preacher. There weren't very many Asians on the circuit, as I could tell. And if I had to rework Johnny Edwards' sermon, I would probably say, we are sinners in the hands of a generous God. And like in today's sermon title, I'd say that we, like our people of God ancestors who have gone before us, are in this state of grumbling and tumbling, not towards raging fires, but into the hands of a generous God. And both of today's lectionary texts that we've chosen for this service today point that way. The early bird vineyard workers and Jonah, both mad as Hades because God or the landowner is so incredibly mind-blowing generous. And so let's reflect on these texts today. First, let's look at the Second Testament text. For the dream of God, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew writes, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. As Edmontonians, it might not be easy for us to imagine life in a vineyard. I don't know if that can take you to a place or not. But I think we can imagine the sting of what we perceive as injustice in different situations. Have you ever been in a situation where the one who came last received just as much as the one who came first? Think about that. That the one who came last received just as much as the one who came first. Maybe you can think of some great examples, and I'd love to hear those maybe after the service so you can share it with someone else. One that was pretty mundane that came into my mind was when you're merging towards that one lane on the highway or on a four-lane road, and there's that one or two people who skip the line and then merge in at the last minute and get to go through like 30 or 40 car lengths before you. And I was thinking, what kind of driver are you? Are you the one who lets people in at the last minute? Or are you the one who tries to merge in at the last minute? Or are you the one who patiently, dutifully, and justice-seekingly waits your place in that line of 40 cars? I think it tells a lot about us, and maybe about our theology too. Though I am curious, raise your hand if you're that last minute merger. The last minute merger, anyone, want to admit it? I'm the one who's sneering at you, not letting you in 6 inches behind the next car. Well, depending on your response, there's several different ways you might play into the story this morning. But how do you feel about being in these hands of a generous God? Are you grumbling, or are you tumbling, or are you a bit of both? Either way, the gospel story is here to lay beside our lives not to give us moral lessons on how to behave rightly in Edmonton merge lanes. This is not a how-to-do life story. This is a kingdom of heaven story. It's a story that's laid beside our lives so that we might respond, perhaps mysteriously, perhaps mystically, perhaps practically, and enter into this reality of this way of Jesus. This way of Jesus in the world that's so often antithetical to the way that we are nurtured to live in North American culture. And it's just not a Second Testament way for the people of God. Let's take a few moments to reflect on our First Testament text. For the dream of God is like Yahweh, who said he was going to punish a whole city because of their sinful ways, and even sent a prophet to warn them, and then changes his mind and grants them forgiveness rather than what they deserved. If you read the four chapters of the Jonah story, it's almost comical. Jonah, called by God, sent to Nineveh, goes the opposite direction during the first call, ends up in the belly of a whale. He gets spat out. He cleans out his waterlogged ears. He gets called a second time and then goes and preaches towards the wayward Ninevites. This time he goes because he wants to preach hellfire and brimstone to the 120,000 in Nineveh who he hopes will be smit. Smited? Smitten. He just hopes they get what they've got coming. And he preaches this amazing 8-word sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And to his utter amazement, Nineveh, all 120,000 of them, repent. And does Jonah jump for joy? No, we read that he's hopping mad. And we read the prayer in chapter 4. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you were a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. I knew it. Wouldn't that be interesting to have the I knew it prayer meeting where all his mad people at God got together and God went, I knew it. I knew you'd do that. I'm praying for vengeance and you're saying, oh, I've changed my mind. I'm going to give them grace. And so here we have it again, the case of grumbling and tumbling into the hands of a generous God. So for us, as First Baptist Church, as we're back to September, this is what it means to be the people of God. 2,000, 3,000 years ago, and now all along into the 21st century. We're called to be a generous people because we live these lives in the hands of a generous God. It doesn't magically happen, but the challenge for us is to encounter this living God in this living story of the Bible and to allow that story to form us, to transform us, so that we might be apprentices to Jesus, apprentices to the Master, to walk in this Jesus way for the good of the world. And so maybe you'll even hold on to those words this morning of encountering God, allowing God and his presence and his living word to transform us, encounter transformation, so that we might be these apprentices who live out this generous story of this generous God that we believe in. I want to talk just for brief seconds about a biblical preaching project that we've been chosen for by Luther Seminary. And in the next 16 months, we will be going through biblical preaching and being taught and mentored by Luther Seminary as one of 10 churches in North America to reflect on how the Word of God, the story of God, might transform us into this living faith so that we might become these apprentices of the Master. So you'll hear more about that in the months ahead. But as we continue to re-engage in church life this fall, let's open the eyes of our hearts to this generous God who invites us, even though we grumble, Even though we're tumbling, even though we feel wayward, even like the hymn we sang this morning, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. May we remember that this generous God holds us, he nurtures us, he cheers us on, and with one another we join in God's redeeming, generous, gracious work in this place, in this city, and even as Melba shared, even to the ends of the earth, like Bolivia, we carry this hope, this healing, this gracious story. I want to just close with a moment of silence, but I want to preface that with a quote from Barbara Brown Taylor, who writes about both these texts in her book, Gospel Medicine. She says, "We think we're the righteous prophets sent to pronounce judgment on the scuzzy Assyrians. We think we are the diligent, sober workers who deserve more pay than the shiftless drifters who show up an hour before quitting time. That is how we see it, and we make the mistake of thinking that that is how God sees it too. What we cannot know is that maybe, just maybe, from where God sits, we are all a mess. Some of us clean up better than others, and some of us have figured out how to manage our fears by doing good works. But when you get right down to it, we are all Ninevites and ne'er-do-wells. All of us in deep need of mercy." So as we pray, let's enter into this generous space, at the same time recognizing who we are, a people who need mercy, and out of that mercy and encounter with this generous God, we become transformed to live these lives of apprenticing to the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. A moment of silence to pray together, and then I'll close with a word of prayer. Our closing prayer is a Celtic prayer. Thanks to you, O ever gentle Christ, for raising us from the black and darkness of the night into the kindly light of this day. You pour your life into us, giving us speech, sense, desire, giving us thought and action. You mark the way before us. As we remember saints who have journeyed before us, Lord, teach us the way of their simplicity, strength with humility, at peace in the love and fear of God. May all our journeying be on your path, O God, and not our own. Rule in our hearts. Rule in our hearts that they might be yours alone. Amen.